Laureen Gilbert is a financial advisor with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
It's straight up at 8 o'clock, and this hour of the Mornings with Ed show is brought to you by Wealthwise Financial Services. Wealthwise Financial Services, wealth management redefined. And as we do each and every Wednesday morning, we are delighted to welcome the award-winning president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services, Laureen Gilbert. Welcome, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. Good to be here. Hope you had a good, long Memorial Day weekend, and I know you were working.
I was working. And thank you for listening. I really appreciate you checking in from time to time and digging the list of top 100 rock and roll songs. I know that some of your favorites were on that list.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Welcome back to the show. We have you and I for months have been covering some of the things that are just now coming to light. And a couple of years back, we were talking about home prices and where they might be. We're seeing that home prices are continuing to surge. And I think the question is, how much of that is actually due to the great reshuffling that we saw a couple of years back? Are we, and I'll ask the question again, are we sitting on a home price bubble?
Right. So a lot to unpack in what you just said. And so what we've definitely seen is, because of the great reshuffle, housing prices in areas where people are moving to have gone up exorbitantly. And examples of that include Idaho, Texas, Florida. Those are three states where you've had a huge influx of people coming from various other states coming in there. Those were reasonable housing prices a couple of years ago. And just as an example, in Naples, Florida, last year it was the highest growth rate of any city in the nation. The housing prices rose by 39%. So, if we look at that, a couple things about that, and that is that, and what's interesting is what happens in housing happens oftentimes in the stock market as well. You see these surges in prices in a very short period of time, and then things can kind of level off for a while, then maybe go down for a while. And, so like with anything, like with equities, you don't really want to be out of the housing market if you can afford to stay in it. And the idea of selling a house and waiting can actually harm you when you have periods of time like we've had over the last couple of years where housing prices skyrocketed. And if you were sitting out of the housing market, it's very hard to re-enter into the housing market. And so to your question about a bubble, is that it's all about affordability. When affordability goes down, then housing prices will eventually roll over and go down. So when interest rates go up, affordability goes down. That's what's been happening. So what somebody used to be able to afford, might be $1,000 more a month just because of the interest rates going up. And that becomes unaffordable. And when that continues, then eventually the consumer will not be able to afford and won't want to purchase those homes, and eventually that will roll over. It will tend to roll over when we go into another recession as well. So, we know all of those things will eventually happen, but I will also say that these kinds of bubbles usually last longer than people anticipate. So we don't know when that will end exactly, but if you're coming into the housing market at this point, I would say you have to be very, very cautious, because just like in 2007, it could take 10 years to recover those housing prices.
Okay, beautifully explained. Thank you for that, for the clarity there. And you mentioned recession. Sure. You mentioned recession, and something caught my eye that you'd mentioned a year ago, really. And are we experiencing that today? Unemployment is below 4%. And we're seeing inflation over 4%. Is that always something that equates to a recession down the road?
No, not necessarily. So it's very hard to go into a recession with unemployment where it is right now. Very hard. not impossible, but what will happen is as we go into a recession, unemployment numbers will start to go up. And so, you know, we're in this window of time where, and we just got the JOLTS number today. Yes. And so, you know, the JOLTS number was actually, the job openings number was actually lower than we thought it would be. It actually was, the job openings had a sharp decline. But even with that sharp decline, we're still seeing so many more job openings than we have workers to fill it, which, you know, begs the question, you know, what happened to all the workers? And a couple things happened to them. A lot of them retired. We had 3.3 million more people retire last year than were expected to retire. And the other thing is 5.4 million new businesses were established. So some people that used to be workers decided, you know, forget that, I am going to start my own business. So with that, all of that's to say that that I wouldn't say that that is necessarily an indication that we're going to go into a recession. What we really need to watch out for is the consumer and what's going on with the consumer, and is the consumer able to spend even given these inflationary pressures. And what we just recently saw is that the savings rate went from over 6% to a little over 4%, which tells us that the consumer is having to dip into savings in order to keep up with inflationary pressures and to continue to spend. We've also seen debt levels going up. So all of that, you know, we will eventually go into recession, but let me tell you, right now, I've never heard so many people, I was talking to a friend of mine over the weekend, and she's like, oh yeah, we're going to go into recession. I said, so why do you think that? And she's like, well, everybody's telling me that. So, I mean, people are just assuming right now that we're going to go into recession. That is not necessarily the case. And it's not necessarily the case that we see a recession imminently. We do not necessarily see an imminent recession. We'll see what Q2 holds as far as, you know, where our GDP numbers are. Because you'll remember, like I've said before, it takes two quarters of negative GDP to be in a recession. We've had one quarter, negative 1.5 GDP. We'll see if the second quarter. If it is, then technically we've already had a recession, and then we can kind of, let's move on and start a recovery again. But we'll see.
Okay. All right. This morning, Janet Yellen says that she was wrong about inflation, as were a lot of economists a year ago. Does that mean that as a whole, we're underestimating how far inflation will climb? Is that an indicator of that we really don't have a grasp of how high these numbers can get?
Well, yeah, what she said is she did not understand the path of inflation and that there have been these additional shocks into the economy. She did get it wrong. She got the baseline wrong, and she, of course, did not predict the Ukraine-Russia situation. But the Treasury Department truly felt like it was a very, very temporary situation. And of course, it has not turned out to be such. And when you add all of the shocks into the economy, it is lasting longer. We've had the bottlenecks, we've had supply chain issues, we've had, you know, China go on another lockdown. And so all of that has made things more difficult, and it's taking longer. But I will also say this, that inflation, we do think, has now peaked. It is starting to come down, albeit very slowly, and certainly much higher than anybody would want it. And we know that the White House is saying that they want to focus on inflation. They really can't do much from the White House. You know, it really needs to be the Federal Reserve and what they're doing. And today, by the way, marks the beginning of quantitative tightening. You'll remember this, Ed, that June 1st, they were starting the quantitative tightening. And we'll see how markets react to that. But that should also slow things down by the Federal Reserve no longer making as much purchases and letting that roll off the balance sheet and starting to reduce their balance sheet. We expect them to reduce their balance sheet by $1 trillion over the next year and $3 trillion over the next 3 years. And at that point, we would get back, after 3 years, we'd get back to pre-pandemic levels on the balance sheet.
Okay, so since the minutes of the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee meeting became available, investors seem more encouraged by the Fed's policy approach. Am I crazy?
No, you're absolutely right. They're encouraged because the Federal Reserve is taking action both on the rate front as well as pulling back purchases. And that's what they can do to slow down growth and take liquidity out of the system.
Okay. I heard a term yesterday, and as soon as I heard it, I had to lock it into my head thinking you'd be the one to explain it to me. So the Deutsche Bank chief executive, a guy by the name of Asoka Wehrmann, is going to step down after raids by prosecutors over allegations that the company misled investors about green investments. What is greenwashing? Can you explain that to us?
Yeah. So there's a lot of talk right now about ESG and the regulators being tighter on companies declaring that they're being environmental, socially, and governance focused, right? And so the regulators are cracking down on that. And sure enough, Deutsche Bank, and this is their CEO of asset management in charge of their investments, and they are being accused of fraudulently saying that they were using ESG. And that's what greenwashing is. Just it's in name only. It's not actually ESG. And so, you know, there has been, we just had one of our clients contact us where we do ESG investing and we screen for ESG for people who want that in their portfolios. And they're like, gosh, we're worried. You know, we're hearing about all this in the media and that some of these companies aren't really ESG. And that is true. There are some companies that are not. Now, when we do the screening, we definitely look deep to make sure that there is not greenwashing in what we're using. But that is what's going on at Deutsche Bank. And it is a warning sign to all companies that are claiming to be ESG. They better truly be ESG or the regulators are going to come after them.
Okay. Thank you for that explanation. And just this is probably my dumb guy question. If I'm looking for ways not to behave in the economic world, should I look to Deutsche Bank? Because they seem to, the last few years, have done just about everything wrong.
That's funny. I know. They're always in the news. Huh?
Yeah.
They are always in the news. Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, we'll let you make your decision.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Municipals took a hit, really hard hit. What do you see when you know that municipals are taking a hard hit?
So, yeah, what I will say is it's been a tough, we know it's been a tough year in equities, and we know it's also been a tough year in fixed income. And municipal bonds are supposed to be on a conservative type of investment. And what that means is the next best thing to treasuries would be municipal bonds. Treasuries are considered the most conservative fixed income play. Right next to that would be municipal bonds. There is not any systemic issue with municipal bonds, but there have been huge price pressures as we've had the interest rate hikes. And what we've seen in municipals is even a greater repricing in the market than corporate credit. And so right now there's this relative value for municipals over corporate credit. So this is what we call the crossover market, Ed, when people are looking at, okay, what are all the different types of fixed income I can buy? Oh, wait a minute. I don't just want to buy municipals right now because I want that tax-free income, but it's actually more attractive than corporate credit, which is taxable. So this is a crossover period of time where investors may want to look at municipal bonds as, you know, a good entry point to be getting in.
Right. And as I mentioned earlier, I love where you see opportunity. I really do. That's fantastic.
There needs to be some kind of opportunity in the midst of all this volatility.
Really does. There really does. You and I were talking about, I was pulling up some old shows over the weekend, and you and I, a little over a year ago, were talking about bottlenecks and supply issues plaguing the consumer, plaguing stores. Now we seem to have a surplus of inventory. Are you finally going to get that washer dryer that you've been waiting on forever? Is this good news for the consumer?
That's great. It is good. It can be good news for the consumer. And the reason, and this is why we saw some retail stocks that took a beating, and they had a lot of supply glut. And what happens when there's supply glut is things go on sale. So from a consumer's viewpoint, look for those things going on sale where you can snap them up where there has been a supply glut. However, it may not be in the durable goods area. So what you were mentioning, washers and dryers, those are durable goods. I don't know that you're going to see it there, but where I do think you're going to see it is some of this retail. So looking at places like, you know, Ross Stores and TJ Maxx and some of those discount stores are going to have more inventory coming from other places where they can just then and also that just continue to mark it down. So I think that's the good news for the consumer. So when you're talking about, you know, we're just entering into summer, but then there's that back to school shopping that happens sometime later in the summer, you might find some good deals there.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And where do our listeners find you if they would like to talk to you, if they want to invest?
Yeah, wealthwisefinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
Or even if just like me, they need to be cleared up of a couple of things, right?
That's right. Happy to talk.
So glad to have you with us this morning. She's the president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services. Laureen, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Ed. Have a great day.
You as well. We'll talk to you soon. It's 8:17. It's the Mornings with Ed show. Money.